four categories that I ended up kind of creating, one of which is serial killers, the other is a mafia assassin, the third is like a CIA killer, and the fourth, and unfortunately I think perhaps the most effective, are terrorists. And what common denominators are there? What makes them similar? What makes them different? Are they born that way? Do they become that way? Et cetera, et cetera. All very interesting questions. When you look at the end results of their work, and I think to a degree you have to call it their work. They view it as work. They view it with great passion. It's their sunset. It's their sunrise. It's all they think about. And unfortunately, we suffered from it. And here, you know, I'm in New York, George, and I live relatively close to the World Trade Center. And it had a very, very deep, profound effect on me. You know, we watch television and we see, as an example, in Israel, restaurants being blown up in the middle of the day, buses being blown up. We see it, we see it, we see the bombings in Iraq. And we become callous and we become almost indifferent to the suffering, the real pain, the real tragedy. But when it hit New York, that affected us very differently. I think it affected a lot of people in the country, but especially us New Yorkers. Who will ever forget how all those New Yorkers are walking up Broadway and stoically are keeping a stiff upper lip and trying to make the best of the day, not knowing what was going to come next, from where, and who was doing it, and the rumors that were flying around. It was truly terrifying. And so I started looking at these guys, looking at these 19 guys that committed that, and thinking, who are they, and how the hell did they get that way, and how can we ID them in the future? More importantly, how can we avoid them in the future? And I've got a lot to say on the subject, George.
Well, and how are they created as well, Philip? And we'll get into all that tonight with you. You know, do these people, I mean all these people, the contract killers,
right,
the serial killers, the CIA assassins, are they all desensitized to human emotion? I mean, like you said, it's a job.
Right.
They go, they do their thing, it's their target, they leave. Do they have any emotion?
I think in the end, we're talking about a very particular, specific type of individual. I clock them at more or less one in every 100,000. And they can remove themselves from the normal human feelings, conscience, morals, ethics. They don't feel it at all. I know serial killers have no remorse, no ethics. I know mob assassins, they don't think twice about it. For them, it's like passing gas in a strong wind. I know CIA guys will use a long-distance rifle, scope it on the head and blow it apart and not think twice of it. And the terrorists, needless to say, they jump on tables and rejoice when they kill, when they cause havoc. They are all about chaos.
Unlike some of the other areas, the mafia contract killer, the serial killer, and the CIA assassin, none of them wants to get killed. The terrorist doesn't care. Right?
Not only do they not care, but it's much deeper and it's much more convoluted and much more complicated. They aspire to heaven. They think, by, as I'm sure your listeners know, I'm not telling anyone anything, but they believe they'll get 71 virgins. They believe they'll be in nirvana. They're highly honored by their family, by the society they left behind. We can liken them to the kamikazes that we faced in World War II, and they were an impossible enemy. Until we killed all of them, we didn't know how to deal with them. We had to blow them all out of the sky, quite literally. Unfortunately, during World War II, there were only a certain amount of kamikazes, and they did a lot of damage. We were shocked. We were stunned. We looked at them. We were baffled, because here you have somebody hurrying to their death, gleefully going to their death. How do you fight an enemy like that? in reality, you really can't fight an enemy.
No,
like
no, you got to get to the cause of why they do
exactly
what they
right.
do.
Exactly
you
right.
Can, you can't, Philip. You can't fight it. It keeps coming at you. It's just like reaching into a an ocean beach. You grab the sand out, it just fills right back in again.
It's piranha. It's piranha. There's a millions of them, and the way it's working out in the Middle East now, it's a very sad situation. Because I think to a degree, not to take sides one way or another politically, but we are perpetuating rather than understand perpetuating the problem of terrorism rather than understanding it, trying to set up a dialogue. Now I hear that Bin Laden is making a new threat and whatnot, and it just makes my blood boil. We had a chance at him in Afghanistan in Bora Bora, but the Bush administration decided to move all the resources, all the troops, all the 5,000 CIA people out of Afghanistan on the trail of the person who really attacked us, put them in Iraq and got us involved with Saddam Hussein and all that nonsense. And now we're in a quagmire. No one will admit it, but unfortunately, I was recently in the Middle East, and when you see their news accounts, as an American, I'm standing there watching Al Jazeera, which we never see here, and you see babies blown apart, women blown apart, what it does, it's feeding the hatred that they feel for the Western establishment already, making it worse and worse and worse and worse. Now, I'm sure they, on the other side of the coin, Israelis say, well, look what they're doing to us. Look what they do to us. Look how they're blowing us up, etc. So it can't be a military solution. It has to be about compromise.